everybody. And happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there of two-legged and four-legged kiddos. And so Mother's Day, I called up my neighbor the other day, and or last night, and wish I didn't know if I was going to have time today, because you know we do have four grandkids running around. And so I called, I had a minute, or some time last night, because the kids went to bed early, because I need a pedometer. I really think I'm putting on at least 25,000 steps
a day. Oh, I bet you are.
Honestly, down to the barn, up to the house, down to the barn, up to the house, up to the school, back to the house, up to the school, back to the house, out to the, we call it the basketball court.
Sure.
And what happened was, is that we were only supposed to have this little bit of tar put off of the cement apron up by the school.
Okay.
And it kept getting bigger and bigger. And I called my husband, this is a long time ago. I said, how are we tarring the whole driveway? He says, why? I said, well, there's a lot of tar up top. And so the big joke was I had to stop the guys. Will came home and like, stop.
Oh, funny.
So the big joke was is it looks like a basketball court.
Now you have a court.
So yeah, so now, so we call it the basketball court.
Nice.
Yeah, and so then down to the playhouse, up to the house, up to the play up to the house, back to the house, down to the playhouse. Oh my God.
I can picture it.
And our land is hills, okay? So it's just not a steady walk. You're going down to the barn.
Oh, wow.
Then coming back up to the house, down to the playhouse, back up to the. So anyway, so yeah, boy, I'll tell you.
Lots of steps.
Yeah, grandmahood. Love it, love it. But boy, I'll tell you, I don't know how Cassandra does it. So I want to wish her the most huge, huge, proud of my daughter, Cassandra. I don't know how she does it. I don't know how she keeps sanity, has the patience, has the courage. She is one. I'm in awe of her mother skills, and she didn't get it from me because I only had one to look after. She didn't learn how to multitask with kids by me, other than how to multitask with animals.
Animals. Maybe that's where she's learning it from.
So anyway, so I tip my hat to my daughter and her four kids, and it's pleasing. And one thing that I want to bring up is that, you know, they live in Alaska. They lived up in, my phones are leaving me. They live up in Alaska. And even before she had kids, she was so good at keeping, you know, to send pictures, calling. That's why I got Facebook to begin with, because emailing the pictures didn't work because I had snail email.
Sure.
Yeah. So, because we weren't hooked up to anything. And so, so that's how come I got on Facebook, was then I could get pictures. But she's always, and then since the kids, she's always sending videos, you know, whereas even though she's a gazillion miles away,
right,
she's done so well to keep us grandparents, you know, where you don't realize the time from the one time you see him to the next time you see him, you know, it's just like, yeah, it's just so I tip my hat to my daughter, Cassandra.
Great way to stay connected,
yes,
for sure.
And I tip my hat to my mom in heaven. She did very well with the five of us squirts.
Five?
Well, yeah, I'm from five. Yeah. And so me and my older sister were adopted, and then my mom had David, Lori, and Amy. And David is no longer with us. But like I said, my mom was kind of like what Cassandra is, whatever. Just don't show me blood. Stay away from blood, okay? And my mom was so good. She didn't micromanage us. And granted, we weren't in sports or anything like that. None of us cared to be in sports.
Okay, yeah.
We just kind of more or less hung out with all the kids in the neighborhood. And then it was time to go to bed and get up and go again.
That sounds fun,
we had
though.
Forts in the woods and stuff
that.
And like I said, my mom was, I couldn't have ordered. I always said as a joke, and a lot of people don't even know what Sears and Roebuck is anymore. But back then, that Sears and Roebuck and then Montgomery Ward's were the big, big stores. And I always said that I couldn't have ordered a better set of parents out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog.
Aww.
So they adopted me when I was a year and a half.
Okay, yeah.
And then my older sister, she was five. But anyway, so I tip my hat to all you moms out there because, like I said, it's they don't come with instructions.
Nope.
They don't come with instructions, and that you don't know, because every kid, just like in the animal world, you could have five dogs and five different personalities.
Yes.
Okay, and but the nice thing is the pets can't talk back. Where the kids can.
Yep,
no,
exactly.
No, grandma. It's like, yes. So anyway, so hopefully you guys got some questions. You're not too much into your Mother's Day as far as you got time to call in with your questions. I'll be happy to answer them. And then also, if you go to my show page at mytalk1071.com, I try to play this every year. And it played, I couldn't believe it. I was just thinking of it, and I had the radio on outside, and it came up. Yeah, I know.
Stop.
It. Yeah,
really?
I kid you not. Jimmy Dean, IOU, mom thing. And Hope was nice enough to post it on my show page. So go to my show page at mytalk1071.com, type in Katie K9, or click on Katie K9, and you'll see it or hear it. Because it is. It's one of my all time favorites. Because it really makes you reflect on all the things through the years. Even though they leave, they don't wait till you become a mom.
I, to be honest, maybe to a four-legged kid.
Yeah,
but that's true.
But even that, but you know what I mean. But you don't realize what they do for nothing. Basically, you just try to shape your butt to be an appeasable son and not wind up in prison. So anyway, if Jimmy Dean's a mom, IOU, please check that out on mytalk1071.com. Go to the Katie K9 show page, and today we'll play a little snippets of it here because we can't play the whole song. And then also having the grandkids around, thank goodness my grandkids are really good about animals. As far as I don't know if I've scared the bejeebies out of them, but anyway, as far as it just reminds me of what parents don't teach the kids when you've got cats or dogs or iguanas or whatever type thing. So we're going to talk today a little bit about here and there about kids and pets as far as teaching the kids to respect the face space of all animals. And then also too, like with the world opening up, you know, frogs are coming out and such like that. Then eventually, hopefully, fireflies. Have you seen fireflies before?
I have. Oh, last cool. summer.
Good. Yeah.
It was really cool.
Yeah. And so it's great to catch them. But then you observe them, you look at them, but then you let them go. Just like you with a frog, a toad, or anything like that. You catch them, you observe them, you be kind to them. Don't throw them.
Yes.
Hang them upside down. Ooh. But anyway, and then turn them loose. You know, they got mommies and daddies to go back to.
Very true.
Or they are a mommy or a daddy, and so you know they need to get back to their kids. But it's about teaching respect to all living things, and that's so so important. It's noted in the humane world and in humans as far as kids that torture animals in their early years grow up to be human abusers.
Right.
And so that's why I used to work for a nonprofit that's what their goal was, to educate grade school kids and such like that on how to be kind and respectful and such like that. And so that they can grow up to be a kind and respectful, you know, adult human. So that's why that's so important. You have no idea. And they don't teach that in school. That's got to be taught at home. You know, they kind of blob it, but it's really, really important. Like I say, if the kids are catching frogs, toads, fireflies, even those woolly worms or just anything, a butterfly, is that how important it is to set it free so that it can make more and enjoy it while you can, but you know, set a limit and then get her out there while they still can. So but anyway, so hopefully you check on that Jimmy Dean song, IOU, got mytalk1071.com, the Katie K9 show page, okay? And then we got other stuff to always talk about, but call in your questions, 651-641-1071. And when we say this each week, everybody waits until like the 5 o'clock hour, and then we get flooded, and then we can't get to all the calls. So try to space them out. I greatly appreciate it. Okay, the first, being that it's Mother's Day, okay, the first question. You ready for this?
Ready.
Okay, which of the following flowers are associated with Mother's Day? Daisies, lilies, or carnations? We'll be back. If you want to listen to the whole thing, go to my talk 107.1 and go to my Katie K9 show page and listen to the whole thing. We'll be playing it periodically. And so, like I said, it's IOU with Jimmy Dean. All right, here we go. Which of the following flowers are often associated with Mother's Day? Daisies, lilies, or carnations?
Is it lilies?
Nope. Carnations. And the next question after, when we go to break, we'll explain why.
Oh, perfect.
That? Okay. Okay, let's head to the phone lines.
Yes, we have Abby, and she has a question about taking her dog on a long road trip.
All right. Hi, Abby. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good, good. So where are we going?
We're going all the way out to Washington State.
Oh, my. And who's going with you?
My mom and my dog and myself.
Okay. So your pupper is how old and what kind?
She's five. She's a Pyrenees Border Collie mix.
Oh, Lordy. Are you breaking a big van or what?
not too big. I wish it was bigger. But.
Okay. So what's your question?
Just, I'm wondering if there's anything that I should be thinking about as we take this trip.
And, okay. The main thing is the longest that I like to see a dog or anything, most people can't even make it, but is like 3 hours, 4 hours pushing it before you take a stop, you know, exercise the leg, let him pee and stuff like that. Also, what you want to make sure is that you have a collar. I would suggest what's called a martingale collar. Okay, they use it for greyhounds where there's no way they can slip out of it, all right?
Sure.
Because that would be the thing is all of a sudden, you know, with all the different smells along the way, the dog, you think that the dog is, well, does a recall well or whatever, and all of a sudden they get a whiff of a, let's say, a moose, a fox, you know what I mean? Something they're not familiar with, and all of a sudden they're gone.
Right.
And so have them in a martingale collar so they can't slip out. Make sure that now, how is this going to be like so many hours a day you're going to drive, or is it going to be put the metal to the pedal to the metal and get there?
we're taking 2 nights to get out there. Okay. So we'll be staying at hotels along the way.
Okay. And then now call ahead and with the hotels that what they require. Cause a lot of hotels require that you need a kennel for the dog. All right.
Okay.
So make sure you call ahead and know what you're getting yourself, you know, that you just don't show up and you don't have a kennel. And now you can't bring your dog in. And is your dog okay with the kennel?
She's all right. I mean, I don't plan on, like, leaving her alone.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then, because their main thing is so that, you know, that animals don't, you know, potty all over the room. That's right. The main thing. And then I would make sure, you want the traveling on. Now, do you do many trips, or do you go many, does your dog go in car rides very often?
Yeah, I bring her along a lot.
Okay, so she's never had any issues with Ralphin or anything?
No, nope. Okay. She loves coming along.
Okay, so personally what I would do is I'd only feed half the ration while you're on the road.
Okay.
Okay, just to make sure that her tummy doesn't get upset, you know, because it's a longer period than what you're doing around town. All right.
Okay.
And then, believe it or not, a lot of times water is different along the way. You do well so that she doesn't have any bouts, to buy water instead of using water like from the hotels and such like that, because every city is different with their chemicals and such like that. So you do well to bring water for the dog. All right, and then obviously are you going to be staying out there for a long time, or just like a couple weeks and then coming back, or what?
Just a week.
Okay,
and then we'll drive back.
Okay, yeah. So I would use bottled water or whatever type thing, just so that you don't have to worry about what chemicals each state uses, you know, to do their water and such like that. And there's different, like, what do you have, city water or well water yourself?
City water.
Okay. So, because it's really harder on dogs that are used to well water. They're not used to any of the chemicals that they put in there. So anyway, but otherwise, a no slip collar for sure. And then a leash that is long enough so that dog, some dogs are like, you're standing too close to me to go potty. Standing too close. So, you know, make sure it's long, but not too long. And you know your dog best. Yeah, you know your dog best. But that, I would keep the rations to half, and then when you get out there, then you can, you know, bump it back up again.
Yeah.
Okay. But anything
and
else?
And some of the travel stops now have little kind of dog park enclosures on their property. So we're going to definitely stop at those so she can run around a little bit.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. That sounds good.
Yeah.
But yeah, just pay attention. Kind of look though, make sure that it's been picked up. Because remember, dog can pick up, you know, worms and stuff like that from, you know, either stepping or smelling other dog's feces.
Okay.
And so you don't want to, you know, contaminate, you know, your dog by another. But if it doesn't look well kept up, I'd just stay with the long line is what I would do.
Yeah.
So anyway, but otherwise, no, that's about it. It's just, just take it easy, you know, and then your dog, the both. But the big thing is what I worry about is dogs slipping out of collars, getting scared about something and backing up. And so that's why the martingale collar is the best thing, because they can't slip out of that.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, well, have a pleasant trip.
We will.
All right. Take care. Bye bye. Yeah. But that's the main thing. Yeah. With traveling, because I drove to Chicago with my one dog, Brody, And so he got out about every 3 hours, you know, just kind of stretched it, let him pee, and
right,
got back in again. Because really, too, is, you know, it's better for the humans. You're not, yes, supposed to, you know, be crumped up either. Mm-hmm. That's hard on your circulation and stuff like that. So
yeah, take those breaks.
Get up there and move it. Move it, move it, move it. All right, here we go. Who's up?
We have Valerie, and she has a question about her dog when it has stuff in its mouth but won't drop it.
Ah, okay. Hey, Valerie, how you doing? Hello, Valerie. Uh-oh. Valerie, call back, I suppose, I guess. So we lost Valerie. So Valerie, call back, and we'll get to you, so I don't know what happened there. I think they were having phone problems, weren't they, earlier this week with the station. Who knows? You know, you do upgrades, just like when you do upgrades with the computers, and all of a sudden something else doesn't work. It's like, well, no, wait a minute. It was working fine before. Now, what with these upgrades, things are not doing too well, but it is what it is. So, yeah, so the main thing is if you're ever, and especially if you guys have shy dogs, a martingale collar is the best to have. It's a no-slip collar. It slides on, slides off. It doesn't have a buckle to it. You fit it kind of to, you can look it up online. You fit it kind of snug so it goes over the dog's, you know, you don't want it too, it can't be too snug because you want to be able to pull it on and off, but then it has a floating ring, and when you hook onto that, if the dog should try to back out of it, it snugs up, and so there's no way. Dogs that have slipped out of harnesses or other collars or whatever, then some people go to double leashing them, but usually if you get a good buckle collar, I mean a good martingale collar, you don't have to worry about the dog, you know, getting out of the collar. Sometimes, too, what you can do if you're really worried, you put the martingale collar on, slide that on, and then put a plain buckle collar in front of that. So what will happen is that then your the martingale collar is to the back, and that's what you're going to hook onto, and then the front is the buckle collar, so that you got two collars on the dog. And now if the dog slams on the brakes and try to come out, that's the martingale collar in back. Well, you know, that no way can it come over the head because it's got the buckle collar in front. And so if you're really, really worried about that, that's what you can do. But the martingale collar is great because I've seen more dogs that can fly out of harnesses that, you know, you just blink and they're out of them things. So that's why, like I said, the martingale collar, if you're worried about a collar slipper. Okay, where are we at?
We have Valerie back.
Oh,
on.
We have Valerie back. Okay.
Hi, Valerie.
Hey, Valerie.
Hi.
Hi there. Okay, what kind of dog do you have?
I have a little six-month Cavapoo.
Cavapoo. Okay, so what's happening?
So she is a vacuum when we go outside. She picks up everything, tries to eat everything. So I've been trying to teach her how to do drop it or leave it. But once it's in her mouth, she does not want to let it go, and she will growl and try and bite me if I try and take it out.
Okay. Now, is she eating like dirt, rocks, grass? She
yep. Eat?
Okay.
Worms.
Okay, you know what that is? Your dog's digestive system's in the toilet. And so that's why Dogs have an uncanny ability to try to find what they're lacking in their diet. And it usually comes from puppyhood, you know, when they the first distress of being weaned, then leaving the litter and the litter mates, and then being vetted, dewormed, and then who the heck are you, and where am I, what do you want, you know what I mean? There's all this stress, and some dogs can handle it better than others, and with the stress, a lot of the good bacteria gets eliminated, and so you've got to replenish that. So first I would make sure that the diet is good. What food are you feeding?
You know what, I've tried different ones because for a long time, so she was on Nutrisource for a little while when I first got her, and her stomach, I could hear it gurgling like a room away.
Okay. Yep.
So then I changed to ProPlan, and then I found out that it doesn't have any grain in it, and they want you to have grain.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm on my third kind, and I can't quite remember, like Original or something like that.
I never heard of that one.
She doesn't really like any of them. She's really a fussy eater, so I've been putting like pumpkin toppers on there or some of those other kinds. And it'll get her to eat, but sometimes I end up, and I hate to say it, but I end up like spoon feeding her and hand feeding her because she just won't eat.
Okay, so now you need to get on a probiotic, a digestive enzyme, extra virgin coconut oil, and organic apple cider vinegar. So we'll explain more when we come back from break, okay?
Okay.
So don't, what do we do? Don't hang up. Oh, shoot, I grabbed the wrong thing. Okay, the main thing is, let's see here. Okay, I should have been doing this before. Before, you know, we talked about the carnations. Okay, carnations are a popular flower on Mother's Day because many Christians...
hot diggity dog, ziggity boom. What
all
you
right.
Doing?
Thank you for tuning in. I greatly appreciate it. Okay, carnations are the popular are a popular flower on Mother's Day because many Christians believe they are made from the what of Mary, tears, hair, or milk.
I don't know.
Tears.
Tears. Okay.
Yep. Tears. The carnations are made from the tears of Mary.
Okay.
It's interesting. I love, my favorite is red carnations and white daisies. Those are my favorite bouquet of flowers. That don't send me roses. Don't
right.
Do it, no.
Yes.
Just give me red carnations with white daisies. Like the Shasta daisies are really nice because they're very big. But anyway, and I know they'll be waiting for me when I get home.
Aww.
Not.
Oh.
Just wishful thinking.
Well, anyway. Hopefully someone's listening. Yeah. Maybe last minute.
That's okay. But you know, when one thing, carnations last a long time. Roses,
well,
usually,
nice.
If you're lucky, they'll last a week. But carnation, you can get a couple weeks out of them if you do it right. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Okay, so we got a 6-month Cavapoo that is having digestive disorders, and that's why it's eating everything that it's not supposed to eat. Okay, so you need a probiotic, and I would double the whatever it tells you on it. Like I use from vitalplanet.com. I also use from animalessentials.com. Do you take probiotics at all?
No.
Okay. You can also.
But I've been feeding her yogurt.
Okay. No, there's nothing in here. Yogurt. Everybody's so.
Okay.
You need billions.
Oh.
And that's got like a couple hundred.
okay.
Okay. So anyway, so you need billions. So like vitalplanet.com, animalessentials.com. You can use the human one is called PB8, Paul Betty 8. Okay. You can get it at a health store. Whatever. And for the human ones, usually what it tells you for humans, you just cut it in half and give that to the dog, okay? If it tells you 4 a day for a human, then do 2 a day for a dog. And then if you get the stuff that is, you know, for dogs, just whatever it tells you, double it for the first 4 weeks, all right? Now, this is what I'd do if this was my dog, all right? Then you got digestive enzymes. Same thing. You want to double whatever it tells you on it for the first 2 weeks and then go back to what they tell you. All right. Okay. You can mix it with the canned pumpkin or the yogurt if you want. No problem. Organic apple cider vinegar. How many pounds is your pup?
She's going on 9.
9 pounds? Okay. Then, yep. then give her like a half a teaspoon of organic apple cider vinegar once a day.
Okay.
Because that is the flora. You want the mother, you know, the stuff that looks cloudy because you want the, you know, the mother of it that has the fermentation in it. Also, then organic coconut oil. And about a half a teaspoon of that. And you want to build to a teaspoon. Build to a teaspoon. But start out with just like a couple, like pinches. Because that'll give the dog the runs if you go up too fast.
Oh,
right?
Sure.
And so anyway, but now all that will take, the coconut oil takes the inflammation out of the gut system. All right. And then also it's great for their coat, just for everything. Coconut oil is resounding. It's like an aspirin. It's the best thing that ever was made. But anyway.
So, half a teaspoon each feeding or just
No. A day. This is all of just once a day. I mean, not once a day. I mean, you could divide it into as many feedings as you want, but that's what you want, what it tells you. Okay. And so however you want to divide it up, I do all my supplements in the morning because that's when I have time. And then by the evening comes, I'm in such a hurry and whatever. So anyway, so that's why. And then now what I would do is don't feed dry food dry. You're going to put it in, because that's really hard in the digestive system. It's hard to break it down because dogs, you know, when they eat the food, they usually don't chew it. They slam it. And then this whole nugget goes in there, and then they drink water to compensate for that dry matter. And if they don't drink enough water, then they can have stomach disorders. And so then what you're going to do is take what you're going to feed and put it in a dish, put hot tap water on until everything floats nicely, put it aside. Non-grain-free takes about a half hour. Grain-free takes about an hour. Okay, then come back in the half hour, check it, and then flip it with a fork or a spoon. And then make sure the kibble is pretty near soft to the center. Add your supplements, flip it, and now feed it. All right?
Okay.
And so, like I said, it would be easier on her gut. So now what we're going to build up her gut system, so now she won't be eating the rocks, the dirt, and stuff like that. But now, when you do you play fetch or lob things for her to pick up and bring back to you?
Yeah.
Okay, and does she drop that?
Yep.
Okay, good. Okay, now the big thing is that when you're on a walk, if the nose goes to the ground, that's where the brain is and that's where the mouth is, right? So are you using a training collar at all?
Or a harness? I have a harness.
Okay, see, a harness restrains. It doesn't train. You do well to get what's the Star Mark collar, the small Star Mark collar. You can get it online, or I've got them up at Katie's Canines. But anyway, so what she does do is she has to be used to a buckle collar, and then put it on, just slides over the head, and then there's a ring that you hook to. And so then leave her buckle collar on, so the Star Mark collar crosses with the buckle collar at first, and then once she gets used to it, then you could take the buckle collar off, okay?
Okay.
Now, when her nose goes down, you bump upwards and say, leave it, okay? Leave it. Bump upwards. Leave it. Okay. And like I said, you got to do, by no means you don't jerk the crap out of the dog. Okay. But right. You've got to also get, so when she looks at you like, what? Now you know you did the right proper amount. It's a flick of the wrist is what it is. Everybody thinks it's the muscle behind it. And it's not the muscle behind training collars. It's the quickness of it. You know, the quick flick, you know, leave it. And you can practice leave it on, let's say, drop a treat on the floor. Put the collar on, the leash on, put a treat on the floor. And now back up and don't turn around. Just go backwards in the feet you went forwards in. And then give it a pop. Leave it. Step backwards. Pop. Leave it. And as soon as her head turns and starts walking towards you, verbally just go, oh, very nice, very nice. And then walk towards the treat again. Okay, if she tries to go for the treat, you go backwards in the feet you just went forwards in. Give it a pop. Pop. Leave it. Pop. Leave it. As soon as she turns around and starts walking towards you, what you want is when you say the word leave it, she finds you. She looks for you is what you want, right? Because then her mind is totally off of what it was on and back onto you. If you do this correctly, like with that treat, when you walk towards a treat, she's not, I'm not touching that. Nope, that got me into trouble. Not going there at all. So that's what you want. You could do it with socks. Because dogs love used underwear, crotches. Use socks. Right, remote controls, glasses, you know, things that have our scent on the heaviest, that's what they like the most. And so that's why you're going to teach her the word leave it. And leave it has to sound gnarly. Don't go leave it. The dog's a happy deal. It's leave it. You know, deep, short voice. And so then as soon as she looks at you, oh, very nice. Thank you. Thank you. Remember, don't say good girl or good boy, okay? Because that gets them all nutsy in the headsy. It's like, I'm a good girl! And so then what's going to happen is she's going to forget what she's trying to learn because her mind just went into recess.
Okay. That's so funny because I already tell her thank you when she does a good job.
Excellent.
I think to myself, why am I saying thank you?
Yes, because you're acknowledging the good behavior, but not putting her mind into recess mode where it turns into a game. Okay.
So that's
the main thing is that like when you go for a walk, if the dog is walking with, now if you let, when you what you want to teach her, you said she's 6 months old, you want her to walk next to you on a loose lead when you are in motion. All right. But at any time during your walk, you can say, okay, you know, be free or whatever you want. And then now she can go be a dog, go sniffies, potties and such. But then once you're ready to walk forward again, you call her in and now you're walking as a team together. Now, most people, what happens is that you can stop, like I said, as often as you want, but most people over-exercise puppies. Their joints don't seal until 2 years old. And so what you want to do is a easy way to just kind of break it down is 4 months, 4 blocks, 5 months, 5 blocks, 6 months, 6 blocks. And that's round trip. That's 3 out and 3 back. So you go for more often, but less, because that steady pounding of them keeping up with your pace is really hard on their growing joints. You can go to puppyculture.com and they've got some workbooks and stuff like that really help you understand that we overly, because you know, exercise are the puppies that really cause heck on their joints. And so you're gonna have an early arthritic dog, you know, at like 5-6 years old. They're gonna start having gitches in their giddy up because their joints didn't seal correctly from the overwork of them. And so that's why it's really important to do short. And then like when you play fetch, you don't whip it, you lob it. Sometimes you throw it once and stop, twice and stop, no more than 3 times, and you move on to something else. You could do it again later, but at one sitting, it's just once and stop, or then we move on to something, and then 2 times and stop, and then we move on to, so that they're not racing out and wrecking their joints also. One thing people don't believe is that I do not play fetch with my dogs. I never have played fetch. And you know why? Fetch is a human game. Do you see dogs throwing sticks for each other? No. And the thing is that it fetches really hard on a dog's joints under 2 years old. And even not as they grow older, too, that it's really hard. But it's worse on the dogs that the joints haven't sealed yet. All right? And so that's why you want to play mine. Like with my puppy classes, I tell everybody, no, we're not really doing a lot of physical work here. But we're doing a lot of mental work. I said, these dogs, these pups will be sound asleep by the time you hit the end of my driveway. I got a long driveway. It's a lunch and a 12-pack, I tell everybody. But I said, but your pup's going to be dead by the end of the driveway. And this will be the calmest afternoon, evening you've ever had with your dog. And you know why? Because all you did was made him think. That's the big thing. We got to make our puppies think. And that's what's going to drain that energy. And okay. Instead of walk, walk, run, run, all that does is build an athlete and wreck the joint. Until they seal. So
I've been trying to come up with games for her, and I've checked out books from the library because she's super smart.
Oh, nice.
And she catches stuff like in a day. She's learned things.
Now, have you tried Brain Games for Dogs by Aerosmith? That's a good one.
Yep, I did. I checked that out.
Okay, and Brain Teasers for Dogs by Soderman?
No, that one I haven't seen yet.
That's a good one. And then 101 Dog Tricks by Sundance.
Okay.
And then
I'll look for those.
Yeah, the best trick book for the best dog ever. I hate that name of that that book. But anyway, and then also too, like I said, you know, think of things like Mike Gilligan, what he did a 4-beat bounce. Okay. And he jumped, da da da. Jump, da da da. And so what I did is he just automatically did that when he got really excited. So what I did, I put it to a word. I bounced my hand like I'm bouncing a ball, and I tell him bounce. Bounce, bounce when he did it. So now I can get it anytime I want. So the whole thing is sometimes when they do things naturally, that's what you want to do is put a name to it. And then now you got it when you want it too. Okay.
Well, she taught herself how to fetch. And when the first week I got her, she was bringing me stuff for to throw for her. And we only really play it in the house, so she's not going too far.
Okay.
But she just wants to be active all the time.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Oh, yeah.
But it's hard to figure out what to do with her all the time.
But see what a good brain mind game is? Okay, why don't you hold on? We'll explain that when we come back, okay?
Okay.
So a good brain mind game for them. Okay. Let's see. Mother's Ruin is the other name of which alcoholic drink? Rum, whiskey, gin. We'll be back.
In the night, gave me life, baby.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. I greatly appreciate it. Okay, Mother's Ruin is the other name of which alcoholic drink? Rum, whiskey, gin.
Whiskey.
No. Gin.
Gin.
Yes.
Okay.
I have no idea. Never heard of that before in my whole life. But it's Mother's Day, so we're just trying to find things with mother in it. Okay. There we go.
The moms would like some whiskey or something. Or gin or rum.
Yeah, rum. Rum and Coke. I still like a good Bacardi Coke. And I don't like Coke, but Bacardi Coke is definitely different than than Pepsi, you know, so... But I very seldom. I'm a beer gal. So anyway, okay, we're going back to Valerie. Okay,
hello.
There you go. Okay, now all of a sudden I just have a brain fruff.
You were going to share a game a brain teaser game.
Yes, a couple best things that really drain a dog's brain is number one, if you can do a stay. Get the dog to do a stay across the room, like when you're picking dinner, preparing dinner, while you're eating dinner. Stay, like, let's say you're going down the hallway, or you're going to go down the steps. Ask the dog to stay. You go down the steps or the hallway. Little things like that where the dog has to focus, hold that thought, and not move is really making the dog drain his brain. It teaches the dog to find like little pieces of the kibble like throughout the house, the find it game. So now they're using their sniffer to sniff out, you know, where the kibble is. And so that just keeps, really drains their brain also. All right. But if you're going to use kibble of their food or pieces of their food, then make sure that at dinner time you take that much out. All right. So that you don't overfeed the dog. All right. But you don't want to, you know, don't send him on a hunt for 100 pieces. Okay. But the way to start out with the find it is that, okay, ask the dog to sit, have a piece of kibble in your hand and put your hand, wrap your hand around it, bring it up to the nose and say, smell it. Okay, smell it. Okay, now if she opens her mouth to grab it, quick, take your hand away and say, smell it. You want to see the nose go, All right. And so then, oh, thank you. Very nice. Okay, then say wait. Go out about 6 feet. Place it on the ground in front of her. Come back. Have another piece in your hand. Come up and say, smell it. And then point to the kibble on the ground and say, find it. Okay, when she goes and gets it, yay, yay, yay. Okay, bring her back. Do it again. And then all of a sudden, the kibble gets out further and then goes around one corner and then maybe around two corners. And the main thing is when you present, this is the smell I need you to find, all right? And then you point and say, find it. And then when you send her on her way, once she understands the game, then you can go do ironing or laundry or whatever, and she'll be on a, you know, on a mission to find the kibbles of that smell. Okay.
Okay. Yep.
So the whole thing is the more you can make the brain hold, and like I say, the stays are huge, huge. Even though physically the dog isn't doing anything, the whole brain is going, when's this going to be done? When's this going to be done? When's this going to be done? And when you finally say, okay, and you release them from it, they're like, oh, thank you. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I can see her liking that one.
Okay. So that's the thing is just those little, you're sitting down to have a cup of coffee, have her do something for you. You know what I mean? Just little here, a minute here, 5 minutes there. It's not sitting down for 15 minutes, a half hour. No, it's just little things throughout, and it'll really, really help you out. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, right. Well, good luck, kiddo.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Bye-bye. Yeah, so that's a tough part, but not enough people make their dogs truly think, hold that thought. They just think if the dog isn't moving, that they're not draining the energy, and that's they're draining the wrong energy is what they're doing. You want to drain the brain energy, not the physical energy. The physical energy, all that does is build an athlete. What used to take a half hour to Tucker, then it becomes an hour, and then 2 hours, and then you're wrecking joints by, you know, constantly, perpetually moving them, okay? The best thing to do, too, is when you've got a high-energy dog, the hardest thing for humans and high-energy dogs to do, but all dogs need to learn this, is you put put a leash on, a nylon leash, and then hook it to just a plain buckle collar, and take like 3/4 of the leash and put it down on a chair and sit on the bulk of the leash. Now, ignore the dog. Don't look at him. Don't touch him. Don't do anything. Now, you only want the dog to have enough leash that if he lays down, the collar stays loose. Then take your hand. Okay, and hold your wrist with one hand and place it in your lap. And then, like I say, just kind of hang out at the beginning when you're teaching this exercise. It's called the invisible dog. If the dog puts his paws up, stands up, you turn your head to the right or left side profile. Remember, that's a calming signal. And then extend your arms out and just go, ah. You just want to bump the pupper. You want them to realize that you are not, you don't own it. You don't own a dog. You can't do anything with them. You can't look at them, can't touch them, can't do anything. If you have a big dog, take your arms and put them in your armpits. And so you remember, don't pet the dog. Don't look at the dog. What we're trying to do here is taking that energy that they want to push at you to teach the dog how to just calm and relax, which is the hardest thing for humans and dogs to do, to just hang out, chill, and wait to see what's going to happen. So that's why you want to play the invisible dog at least 3 times every day. You got a minute, sit on the leash. Got 5 minutes, sit on the leash. Got an hour, sit on the leash. When people come over, before you open that door, you put the dog on a leash, and then you tell everybody to go sit down at the kitchen table or the deck or whatever. Go to sit. Pull your chair out so the dog can't get to anybody. Sit on the leash and ignore the dog. So now it's usually the first 15 minutes to 45 minutes. Dog is nuts, and now you're going to control that. Okay? All right. Okay, who's up?
We have Casey, and her cat gets car sick.
Ah, I'm impressed she's taking her cat in the car. Hey, Casey, how you doing?
Hi, good. How are you doing?
Good, good. So how old's your cat?
8 months old.
Oh, 8 months. Okay, now how long of trips have you been going with him?
Well, I actually have a cabin about an hour and a half away from the cities, and this is only my second weekend up here, and both times he's gotten sick on the way up, and obviously he'll get sick on the way back now tomorrow.
Okay, so, well, let's hope not. Okay, now how are you portaging him? In a kennel?
Yes, in a kennel.
Okay, is it covered?
Yes, it is. And I actually have another cat the same age, too, that doesn't have the problem of getting car sick. And okay. I try to do different things. They're both in their own kennel, plastic kennel.
Good. Okay. But you have it. What do you have it covered? He is covered. The one that's getting sick. What do you have him covered with? A towel? A heavy blanket? What?
No, I haven't been covering it. So the holes in the, you know, are exposed. So okay. I haven't been putting like a towel or a blanket or anything over the actual kennel.
Okay, do that. Take a towel, okay. You know, something a little bit heavy and cover the sides. And so, I mean, basically he's kind of in the dark. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Because it could be either the motion of the car or it could be, even though, you know, when he looks up, he can see somewhat of the, like the sky moving, you know, there's something moving, he'll be able to see. Our cats do better. I've had a couple cats that would stretch out on the dashboard and just say, hey, where are we going? You know, but the better thing is to cover and then don't feed him. Like if you're coming home tomorrow, feed him a light breakfast, breakfast, and don't feed him anything until you get home. All right. Okay. And he'll be just fine. But I would cover his kennel with the other one doesn't. Then I would cover his with a towel, something that's a little bit heavy. All right.
Okay.
But, and so then that way you can try the door definitely. Okay. Okay. When they're in, now they're in the back seat of your car or what are, what are you driving?
They are.
Okay. So that, are they facing the doors or are they facing the seats?
I had them on the way up and back last weekend. I had them facing each other because I thought that that would be comforting for them.
Okay.
And then coming up on Friday, I had him kind of facing me more so.
Okay.
So that he could see me, and I thought that that would be comforting for him. And what he starts out doing right away is he starts drooling like this foamy drool.
Okay, yeah.
So he's like has anxiety about it like immediately.
Right. Do you take him for any rides other than when you're going to the cabin?
I've done just short ones like to the vet. Okay.
That's what you got to remember. The only time you got to go in the vet, that same thing with dogs. The only time they go to the vet in a car is to the vet that causes that anxiety. You might want to try some rescue remedy. Okay. And we get the animal because it doesn't have any alcohol in it. Okay. Try that. You can go to Present Moments. It's in Minneapolis and they can give a concoction for car sickness for cats also.
Okay.
So give that a shot, but cover it, and then see how that goes, okay?
Okay, wonderful. Okay, yeah, I didn't even think of covering it.
Yeah, and then play the tunes and sing. Okay. Okay, have a great one. Take care.
Happy Mother's Day.
Bye-bye. Which of the following songs by the Beatles was inspired by Mary, the mother of Paul McCartney? Let it be.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.